Well, it's always a delight to come home to worship here and to share God's word. Just picking up a point that Oliver made, I'd just like to ask you to pray for me on Tuesday, just after lunch at 10 to 2, as I speak in the assembly at Myton with 298 11, 12-year-olds, that God would just give me the right words for those few minutes that are allowed us, that everyone will accept the testament. So if you remember to look at your watch just after lunch on Tuesday, pray for me then. Well, it's a great passage, isn't it? In your series, Encounters with Jesus. And so we have an encounter with Jesus, the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus was a wonderful teacher. He taught by what he told, and he taught by what he did, his actions. He could address crowds of hundreds, or he could meet to talk with one person personally. And that's what we're going to see today, a very personal conversation. We listen to a conversation with a lady, and we learn from his actions as well as his words. There's some background perhaps we need to examine before we listen to the conversation. Jesus and his disciples had been up at Jerusalem, and they were going back to their home area of Galilee. They had two choices. They either took the usual road down the steep winding hill, down to Jericho, take a left and follow up the river up to Galilee. Or they could take perhaps a shorter route, which took them through an area called Samaria. This was not the popular route because of the history of bad relations between the Jews and the Samaritan people. A few hundred years before, the Jews who lived there, the northern tribes of Israel, they'd been exiled. They'd been cleared out by the invaders who had brought in other peoples from other nationalities into their area to take over their houses and their land. Things didn't work out well for them, and the invaders reckoned it was a religious problem. And so they brought back some Jewish priests to teach them about God. Well, years later, I believe, some of the exiled Jews also returned to live there. But the religion and the peoples were all mixed up. They had lost their strict Jewish identity and religion, and hence the Jews would have nothing to do with these people who lived in Samaria. So in the time of Jesus, true Jews, they despised the people who lived there. They would have nothing to do with them. It was so bad that if a Jew happened to cross Samaria, I'm told that when they left and crossed the border, they'd take their shoes off and take the dust off their shoes. That was what they thought about Samaria and the people who lived there. So today we come to look at this encounter with Jesus. And we start by thinking about Jesus, a man with a mission. We read right at the beginning that Jesus had to go through Samaria. The authorized, I think, says must needs go through Samaria. Now, as I've said, strictly speaking, he didn't need to go through Samaria. But he must have planned the timing just to arrive at that well when the lady would come to draw water. The first point I want to make is that Jesus always has precise timing when he meets with individuals. Let me tell you of an experience I had in Japan. I went to Japan with a team of Gideons to spend 2 weeks presenting Bibles. When we were traveling in the bus from the airport into Tokyo, the local Gideon said, "We've had a prayer meeting. We've been praying continuously for 7 days. We've kept it going 24/7. Some would come for a while, others would come, and we've kept it going. Why? Because we believe we've got a spiritual battle." And so they had prayed. Well, that first Monday morning, I was with a couple of local guys, and they said, "We're going to a prison. We've never been there before." We spent a while in prayer before we set off. Well, we drove up this road towards the prison. Just ahead of us was a large black limousine. Got to the gates of the prison. They opened. This car went through. And we followed without being challenged as to who we might be. We drove up to the entrance to this building. We stopped and we watched. And some very official men got out of this car and walked into the office. And we just hung back until they were all in. And one of our Gideons went in to find out if it was okay. They said, well, today, this is the new regional prison governor come to inspect the prison. Please wait. And so we waited, we prayed, and we went in when the other car drove away. And so they said, come in. All the prisoners have been assembled. And we walked into this great area, and there were hundreds of these prisoners, all in black. The whole atmosphere seemed black. And we were given the opportunity to speak to them about the Lord, to tell them about Jesus. And row after row, these prisoners came and accepted a testament. You know, if we had been 2 minutes earlier or 2 minutes later, we would have not been in that prison. You see, God answers prayer, and He has divine appointments. I wonder about divine appointments in your life. That was a thrill to us, and what a start it was to the 2 weeks, to know that these men who never would have had a chance to own a Bible, there in that prison, could read about the love of Jesus. You know, when you think about the various people Jesus met, He didn't go about haphazardly, did He? He always had purpose. If you look at each encounter, there's very specific purpose and timing. Think about Him going to that village of Nain. They just happen to walk into the village and there's a funeral procession coming down. A widow about to bury her only son. What does Jesus do? He stops. He touches. He speaks. And that son is brought back to life. Wasn't that good timing? That was Jesus' divine appointment for that lady and her son. You can probably think of others. You can think perhaps of Jairus. Jairus, whose daughter was dying. He could have gone a little earlier and touched her and healed her, but he chose to demonstrate his power by waiting until she died, going a few minutes later and bringing her back to life. Jesus' timing is always perfect. And so it is today. We see Him choosing to go to Samaria to have an encounter with this lady, this woman on her own, drawing water. Jesus was a man with a mission to be in the right place at the right time, where we are today. We come to the crunch, really. It was just to meet that one lady. He wanted to meet her at the well. Half an hour later, might have missed her. So with us today, He wants to meet us. But look at Jesus. Think of that story. You saw the picture. He sits down by the well. I don't know how many hours it had taken to walk from Jerusalem to get there. I think it was about noon when he arrived. He'd probably been walking in the heat of the morning. It says that he was tired. You see, Jesus, as you've learned over the last few weeks, was no ordinary man, and yet we now see Him in His humanity. It says He was tired. Another translation I looked at said, Jesus was worn out by the trip and sat down at the well. He was thirsty. And so we look on Jesus as the Son of God, and as we think in a few weeks' time, not very long, about that birth of that baby, we see the humanity. We see in that God incarnate. You might remember another occasion. Jesus went with His disciples on a boat. They were in Galilee and there was a storm. And what was Jesus doing? Was He rowing? No, He wasn't. He was sleeping. A human being and yet God. So it's good to remember that Jesus had a human body. Jesus did not discriminate. I want to focus on this lady. She was chosen of God to teach us about the true nature and character and compassion that Jesus has. This really, you might say, is the crunch of the story. And his actions speak louder than his words. The culture of his day would have meant that, as we saw in that DVD, that the Jewish men would have no contact with a Jewish woman. In fact, Jewish men did not give much credence to Jewish women. There was no natural respect for women within that culture. We've read that they would have nothing to do with Samaritans. I think in the DVD it brought it out, they wouldn't even drink from the same cup. My translation says, Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead with a Samaritan. Well, you know, our newspapers at the moment seem so full of stories about ethnic prejudice. Goes on, doesn't it? But what we read here about the Jews and the Samaritans was worse than ethnic prejudice. It was pride and prejudice. Jesus is shouting out by his actions, I do not discriminate. But there was more. Jesus knew her history. He knew why she was getting water at the wrong time of day. All the other village women would have come early in the morning or in the cool of the evening. She was alone drawing her water. Why was she alone? Why was she there at noon? Maybe her moral history had made her an outcast, a person shunned by others, no friends. Jesus said, yes, I know all about you. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. A scandal. What's this saying to us today? I was just thinking about that song we sometimes sing, Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. It just transcends all our human thoughts about other people, particularly our prejudices. Jesus planned that meeting. Why? He wanted to bless that woman. By his actions that day, he speaks to us today. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. She represents that. He didn't follow the culture or the tradition of the Jewish religious leaders. Jesus demonstrated his compassion by what he did that day. He didn't condemn the woman. There's another occasion when he didn't condemn a woman. You think of that time when the religious leaders brought a woman that they had said had been caught in adultery. You remember what Jesus said? Well, those that are without sin, throw the first stone. And then we hear his words, neither do I condemn you. Jesus does not discriminate. And he's still the same today. By his action, he speaks so loudly today. Jesus did not discriminate because he knows each one of us. He does not discriminate today. He knows our history. Let me tell you about a man called Elliot that I met a couple of times when I was in America. Elliot, he grew up in California. He was in a strict Jewish family. He went to synagogue on a Friday night and on a Saturday. But he did not know that he could have a relationship with God. Well, Elliot wanted away from that and he joined the army. In that, he became dependent on alcohol and drugs. He married a girl called Polly quite early and had two daughters. Throughout his early years of marriage, Elliot admits that he was not a good husband or father. He had a job as a tour director and he traveled the world. He was away for long periods of time. And as he told us, he said he admitted that he indulged in immorality and was only interested in satisfying his selfish desires. He was away for long periods, as I've said, and there was time he was away. His wife developed breast cancer and had quite a long time of chemo treatment. And she was still raising two of their grandchildren because her daughter was in prison for embezzlement. But Eliot continued to travel and living his immoral life. What a man. Christmas Eve night of 1996, Eliot returned home from abroad to find the door locked. They lived in North Carolina, and he said they never locked a door there. And so beckoned his wife, and she said, "I'm sorry, it's over, you're not coming in. It's over." Well, he went off, booked himself in a motel, took with him from the car a gun. Not unusual for guys like that to carry a gun in their car, but he had intentions. He intended to commit suicide with that gun. There he was in this motel. And it was funny, really. He says, God seems to have a humor. He says, "I had to go to the loo. And as I passed the television, lying on top of the television, open, was a Bible. Happened to be a Gideon Bible. Which he swiped. And it fell, and he went to kick it. But it wouldn't go under the bed because it was one of those beds with a solid base. And he happened to see, he looked down and he saw the word John. And he just started to read some words. It said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, let it not be afraid." He was really irritated by this, but he read on. There he was in a dilemma. He phoned his wife Polly and he said, "I was going to phone you to say goodbye, but something's happened. What should I do?" And she said, "Well, phone the pastor." Well, he remembered that every time the pastor had come to the door, he shut it in his face and said, "I won't have you in here." Because there was one word that he hated. He'd been taught to hate it from a boy. It was the word Jesus. He'd never utter it. His parents forbade it. Well, there he was phoning this pastor, and the pastor, Christmas Eve came, and he shared from God's word. For 3 days, Eliot stayed in that hotel and read the Bible. Come Sunday, he went to church with his wife, and he put his trust in Jesus for salvation. I've got to tell you that as he related this, he said, "I went to Bible college for 2 years. I'm now a pastor in a little church in North Carolina." God does not discriminate. Jesus does not discriminate. He knows the history of each one of us. He knew the history of this man, Eliot. But he had a divine appointment that Christmas Eve, that Bible, that open Bible, which is very unusual, and very unusual to be on top of the telly. Nowadays you couldn't get them on top of the telly. But God knew where Eliot was, as he knows where we are, and his timing is perfect. And God does not discriminate. He knows our history. Let me read that verses about water. The source of living water. John 4. I just want to read again so that the words will be familiar to you. John 4 verse 7 says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, who it is you ask for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? And did also, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds.'" Here's a crunch. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Wow. Water? two kinds of water in this passage, isn't there? Jesus asks her for a drink of water. Jesus said, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink and I would give you fresh, living water. Jesus said, the water I give will be an artesian spring with gushing fountains of endless life. Remember what Jesus said in John 10? He says, I've come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. I see in this passage a curtain just drawn back a little. Because Jesus was beginning here to bring a truth that meant so little to her, but so meaningful to us today. Two kinds of water, natural water and supernatural water. You see, we can quench our thirst, but for how long will it last? It's a bit like yesterday's newspaper, isn't it? It's gone. Natural water. You see, that man Eliot was trying to quench his thirst, his natural desires, on things that would never satisfy. And he came to the end of himself knowing that natural water never satisfies. In our life, we can try to fulfill ourselves, get all that the textbook tells us about self-actualization, job satisfaction, whatever. But we know that whatever brings so-called happiness, it's very temporary. But God offers, through Jesus' words today, something different. He talks about supernatural water. He is revealing himself as a source so that out of us can flow rivers of living water, fountains springing up so that we're not thirsty again. What an offer he makes. The word I love there is whoever. Perhaps the greatest words in the gospel are whosoever or whoever. It's whoever drinks of this water. Whatever our history, whatever our background, God knows. And that offer, whether our life is like Eliot's or saintly compared to Eliot's, God knows that we are included in the whoever. Our name is in the whoever. All we've got to do is respond to the offer of that living water. And a reminder again of who's speaking. Jesus is the Christ of God. You see, that woman was confused, wasn't she? But Jesus revealed his true identity. In her confusion, she says, when the Messiah comes, we will get the whole story. What did Jesus say? Very simply, I am he. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. God incarnate. So we are challenged today. What do we think of Jesus? Maybe you've been listening over the last few weeks about these encounters with Jesus. What decision have you taken? Who this man is? Jesus himself said, I am he. And so Jesus teaches by what he said, and by his actions. He planned the journey. He planned the exact timing of that encounter. He knew all about this lady. She couldn't hide it. You know, people try to say the best they can or show the best they can. If you're going for a job interview, you have a CV. And the smallest achievement is enlarged to look as bright and beautiful and wonderful as possible. You don't need to do that with Jesus. He knows us. He knows us just as we are. And he knew that lady's ethnic identity, her mixed up life, her immoral past, her confusion about religion. But Jesus chose to reveal his identity to her. Why? To bring her salvation. That was his mission. That's why he took the route to go through Samaria to meet her, that she might have the blessing of salvation. She believed, and she, as we've seen in that DVD, she brought the village men to meet the master. They believed, and we find that they stayed there in town for 2 days. And remember, no self-respecting Jew would have accepted hospitality there. Jesus again was taking back that challenge to his disciples. Look, lads, this is what I think of these people. And you may remember that in the final words, as Jesus was leaving and he was saying to them, now I want you to take the message, stay in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And he told them, and very soon in the Acts of the Apostles, you read of them going to Samaria. And Jesus was beginning to show them no prejudice, as he does to us today. They recognized him as the Savior of the world. So here we are in Saltiswood Church, and Jesus is here just as much as he was that day in Samaria. He still has that mission to reach lost people, to bring them salvation and blessing. Knowing our identity, our history, our confusion, our lack of understanding about religion, he loves us. And he comes to us, to each of us, included in the whoever, I know you and I love you. I died for you on the cross, that you might drink living water, not the water that doesn't satisfy, but water that will satisfy. Maybe he comes to us today and he says to each of us, yes, you have begun to walk with me, but have you really begun to be filled with that Holy Spirit that I give you? He comes to offer each of us something that will truly be a well of living water, that will not be living in a sort of mediocre Christian life. He wants each of us to have the abundant life filled with his Holy Spirit. That offer is to all who trust him. So the mission was to bless that woman. And the mission today is to bless each of us. Let's respond in our heart. Just as you sit there this morning, would you thank God that he knows you better than anyone else? And knowing your history, he loves you and is ready to forgive. Would you reach out to Jesus and say, forgive me, accept me, I want that living water. Christian friend, have you reached out to receive in the fullness all that's yours by right? The fullness of the Holy Spirit, that you might indeed experience this spring of living water in abundance. In faith, receive all that Jesus has for you today. Lord, I just thank you for again reminding us of another aspect of your wonderful, beautiful nature. You don't discriminate. You set divine appointments, for you have a longing to meet with each individual and to bring that new life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here today. We open our heart to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.